You guys look wonderful. If you've ever been on a team of any kind, be it athletic, clubs, business, no matter what, there's a principle that is so key to its success. And that is that everybody on that team is all in. Now, not everybody's going to agree with each other, but there's probably a mission statement that everybody can buy into and be all in. And this is so true in every category of life. But if we're going to accomplish anything in the Christian realm, boy, we've got to be all in with the Father. That is so key. So key. Why would Christians have the passion to work together with the Heavenly Father? Why? Why? Well, let's look at a few verses in God's Word that might encourage us to be all in with the Heavenly Father. So, first one is Psalm 9:1, and we have a slide on this. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. David was all in, wasn't he? All in. It wasn't once a week, but it was day in and day out, moment by moment. And see, his whole heart, not some of it, his whole heart praised the Lord. And to show forth his marvelous works. What are the marvelous works that we've experienced? New birth, eternal life, family of God. Oh my goodness, the Word of God that's at our access. Man, oh man. Let's look at Psalms 27, the next one. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wow. You want to be in his house? I know there's a lot of mansions out there you'd like to have or be a part of. But there's nothing, nothing greater than to be in the house of the Lord, dwelling with him, God Almighty. Any better place in your heart that you can be? I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, as I became a Christian and worked God's word, it became very obvious to me that this lifestyle, Christian lifestyle, was not a once a week deal. Not at all. For me, God's word was the ultimate truth for life and living. If that is true, why would I not go all in with my Heavenly Father and his word? You know, I've been on many athletic teams through the years, political groups, clubs, businesses. The success always depended on everybody being all in. All in. Spiritually, I believe this is vital. Even more important that Christians are all in their commitment to live the truth of God's word. There's no other truth out there, folks. There's no other lifestyle that works than what God's word teaches. Amen. Being all in is living in the realm of the miraculous. How exciting is that? Being all in is talking and listening to the Heavenly Father every day. Being all in is giving and serving in the body of Christ. So So let's take a look at some examples in God's Word of some folks that were all in. So Daniel, we're going to go to Daniel. Get your Bibles out. I'm going to get mine. We're going to chapter 3. Okay, where is Daniel? Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Lamentations, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel. Okay, here we are, chapter 3. And let's pick it up, verse 8. We're going to be talking about old Nebuchadnezzar here. And of course, the children of Israel were taken away from their land, and they were living in Babylon area. And some of them were doing pretty well. So let's pick it up, verse 8, chapter 3. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said, "Oh, to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever." That's always good to say to the king when you talk to him, first thing. "Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image." So Nebuchadnezzar made this golden image for everybody to worship him. "And whoso faileth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regard of thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Well, how did Nebuchadnezzar respond to that? Verse 13, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said unto them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if you be ready, that at the time you hear this sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer," that's quite a group of instruments for a band, isn't it? I'd like to hear that kind of music. "And all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who," here, listen, this is key here, "who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." Wow, that's pretty gutsy, huh? Were these three men all in? They had to be, because they were going to be all in the furnace. So, are they all in with God? The real, true God? Wow. But listen to this, verse 18. And this is commitment, I tell you. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now that's pretty gutsy. You got this giant burning fiery furnace going on, and you're saying, "My God's going to deliver me. You throw me in there, I will be delivered. But if not, I don't care. I'm staying put." Wow, these guys were all in. Whew. Well, verse 19. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar," he didn't like that response. He was full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace. I don't know how they could do this. 7 times more than it want to be heated. I mean, I'm sure it was a roaring fire. How do you 7 times make it hotter? That's what they did. Then these men, and he commanded, let's see, where are we at? Verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew these men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wow. What a situation. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and this King James word, I don't know what it is, astonied. He was astonished. Maybe that's what that word means. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered, oh yeah, true king, yep, you're right. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God took care of these 3 men. Not only did the fire have nothing that could hurt them with, but he put somebody else in there, an angel like the Son of God, to be with them. Isn't that just a loving Father? Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Now, I mean, they're in the middle of this fire and they walk out. The folks that threw them in there died because it was so hot, but they just walk out. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselor being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had what? No power. Nor was an hair of their head singed. Like Daniel said, God counts the number of hairs, no matter if you get a haircut or not. Their hair wasn't even singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Amazing. Then Nebuchadnezzar, this guy's pretty smart, spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. Whew, what a story of being all in, huh? Wow. Well, we're going to look at another little example in the book of John. Go to the book of John 16. Yep, John 16. And we're going to start verse 19. This is later, Jesus is about to give himself over to be sacrificed. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto him, "Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me?" He's working with his disciples and he's challenging their thinking. Verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned unto joy." They're going to lose their Lord and Savior. But what is their Lord and Savior doing? Redeeming all mankind with his shed blood. Giving eternal life to all those who believe afterwards. Good explanation here. Jesus says in verse 21, "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world." Now, I don't know about you ladies how you do this, birthing kids. And I know it's very difficult and painful. But boy, the end results, I think, is worth it. Because you ladies keep having kids. My goodness. And you now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Woo! He's talking about the future, Pentecost. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Man, when you go all in with the Father, you ask him and he's going to give it to you. "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in a proverb. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you, but I pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. And I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb." Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, it is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." This is our Lord and Savior. And this is why we can be all in, because he was all in. Whew. Thankful. Very thankful. Now, I get it. You know, we live in this crazy world. We have our culture. We have our jobs. We have recreation, TV, the internet, AI. Is that right, AI? Whatever that is. Artificial intelligence. Isn't that weird? We don't live by artificial intelligence. We live by the intelligence of the Word of God. Doggone it. But regardless of our culture, our times, jobs, whatever, There's a point in our lives that we need to be all in with the Father. It's the logical thing to do in light of what He's done. So where does God fit in your life? Where does He fit in? Should we be putting Him first? He certainly put us first, didn't He? With His Son. Giving His Son for us. So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So why not be all in for Him? And I know that means different things for different people. No matter how God has called you within the body of Christ. But I can only share about my life. And when I got born again of God's Spirit when I was 20 years old, I immediately went all in. For 8 years prior to that time, I was searching different philosophies, different religions. I went to so many different churches and all kinds of stuff. But for me, God sent somebody from Cleveland, Ohio to North Carolina that made it for me, okay? That helped me get into the Word. And that was it. That was it. I found it. And there was no going back. So when I graduated from college, I went into the Marine Corps. And Marines can be pretty wild. And they like to hoop it up and party and all that stuff when they're not being serious. That wasn't me. I made a decision. I'm going to be a Christian Marine. And so I was kind of an oddball around most of my comrades. But I'm thankful to God that He opened doors for me to minister to a number of folks. I was in my office one day, and I had tried to reach out in different forms and fashions to witness. These two young Marines came in and said, "We're looking for the officer that teaches the Bible." I had never seen these guys before. They came from a different command, totally on the other side of the base. I don't know how they found me. They said, "We've got a bunch of Marines that are hungry." So God opened the door for me to teach a bunch of Marines God's Word. They got born again. Some spoke in tongues. One went back to Fresno, started a church there. Another one witnessed to Ken Petty on the boardwalk in Pacific Beach. So after I left the Marine Corps, 3 years, I worked for IBM. And in the 70s, IBM was the number one company. They were big blue. Everybody had great respect. God opened the door for me to have a wonderful job. Why not? He wants us to prosper, right? So, but I was a Christian IBMer. Because the IBM guys, they knew how to hoop it up too. Right there with the Marines, I think, sometimes. So after a few years, successful, and you know, here was an opportunity to have a lifetime career with the greatest company in the world. But after a few years, got married to wonderful, beautiful Jeannie. And I think it was 4 years later, 5 years, I said, "I want to go on a one-year mission." And they said, "Okay." So I left this career with IBM. We went to Bristol, England as WOW ambassadors and had a great time. There's still a fellowship going on today there. Great. Came back. They gave me a job, but I had to start back down in the beginning. My peers had already moved up the ladder, so to speak. But see, that IBM was not my God. So, after a few more years, had the opportunity to go part-time with ministry work. So I was part-time ministry, but I had to work part-time too. So you know what I did? Washed windows. I washed windows for a number of years as a part-time. My folks thought I was nuts. Here I had a college degree, been in the Marine Corps, IBM, I'm washing windows. But I loved it because I had the opportunity to do what I believe God called me to do, to minister to the saints. Now I know we all have our different stories, our callings, our positions, whatever you want to call it in the body of Christ. But this is just me. And so I'm so thankful. I look back on my life. I'm so grateful that made the decisions I made. Not perfect. I know I made some mistakes. But I'm sure grateful that my Heavenly Father took care of me and continues to take care of us. Right? So, you know, why would we want to be all in for Him? Well, maybe it's because what He's done for us. I've got a slide on this, number 6. What has He done for us? Well, we're a new creation in Christ. We're not just a member of some church or something. We're a whole brand new creation in Christ. That's who we are. Would that be cause to go all in? Maybe. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're righteous in Christ. It says in Romans 8 there that we're a son of God and His family. Talk about royalty. That's us. It says in Ephesians 2:10, we're His masterpiece. Boy, He kind of likes us, doesn't He? And it says Colossians 2:10, complete in Him. We are complete in Him. Completely complete, absolutely complete, the Aramaic says. What more can you get? So why not be all in with the Heavenly Father that has been so generous and loving to us? So let's take a look at the next slide. Why would we walk with Him? Because He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my strength. He's the one whom I trust in. He's my all in all. Isn't He? Amen. And why would we be all in? Next slide. Because we have been called in Christ. God has called us to do and be in His family and to do something for Him. We have a purpose in life. I tell you, that really sold me that I can have a genuine purpose in life. I can have meaning in my life because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for me. And that I could be a son of God. I could be in His family. I can be a part of what He's called me to do. We have a commission, right? He has called us to make disciples. He said that. You go out and make the disciples. In His last words before He was ascending up to be in heaven was that you would be, I'm trying to think of the verse, but you shall receive power. That's the verse. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me and to Jerusalem, Samaria, and unto some other places, uttermost parts of the earth, San Diego included, and wherever you live. That's quite a commission. That's a calling that we can answer. What's the motivation behind it? The love of God. The great love of God, huh? The love of God. We are loved by Him. Finally, I'm finishing up here. This next slide here. What is being all in? What is it being all in? It's just living the Word, living in the realm of the miraculous. Just reading the Word. Keep the Word fresh in your heart and mind. Read it, believe it, and live in the realm of the miraculous. Because you're going to see miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles. It's so exciting. Oh my gosh. Number two, exit worldly thinking. You're not of this world. I know we're bombarded by it and we're pushed and forced, but we're not of this world. So exit your worldly thinking and put on your spiritual thinking. Put on your spiritual thinking. Romans 8:6, the carnal mind is what? Is death. Well, that's the bottom line. The spiritual mindedness is life and peace, right? Life and peace. We have a wonderful word to think and live by. And then finally, giving and service. What are we doing? Our giving really is a reflection of our being all in. And there's a wonderful section, 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. It talks about what you sow, you reap. You're familiar with that verse, right? If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you reap bountifully, or you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Same thing, being all in with God, walking with Him. That's why He's teaching that. What are the results of this? Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. So I know some people think, well, if I go all in with God, I'm just going to suffer. This is going to be, I won't have no fun. Oh my gosh, you'll have a ball. You'll be dancing like that first song we played. Daniel, great songs. God's going to make your life so joyous and wonderful if you're all in with Him. Man, why not? Why not? You know, I'm getting a little old these days. I've lived probably most of my life. I got a bunch of years ahead. I know that. But I've lived a lot of years, and I reflect back on those years. How have I lived my life? What's my legacy going to be? Well, that's up to God. Figure that out. But I don't have any problem continuing to live for the God who invented me and made me His own forever and ever. And why not? So again, you may look at my life. I make mistakes. I've compromised. And yet, to the best of my ability, I've endeavored to be all in with the Heavenly Father. And like I said earlier, when I was 20 years old and heard the Word of God rightly divided and understood it and believed it, it was the greatest thing in my life. And nothing better can ever come before the love of God. Yeah. I encourage you. Guess why I'm teaching this? I encourage everyone that listens to this sharing to be all in with the Father. It doesn't have to be hard and suffering. It just needs to be an accepting who you are in Christ and living it. There's so many different jobs and things we can do in the family of God. And you're not going to do what I did. You do what God wants you to do. Be all in with Him. And He'll tell you. He'll tell you. So be all in doing His will. And He will bless you and take care of you like no other. And you will live a life of the miraculous. Amen. Heavenly Father.